This is a Big Facts Network exclusive.
Yo, another episode with the homies, Big Homies House, of course, in the building. We're at 96.1 iHeart Studios in Atlanta. We got a special guest in the building right now. Amani, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
I like that shirt, too.
Yes,
Baddies Vote.
Yes, and on the back, it says Hood Politics.
Hood Politics.
That's my brand.
Yeah. Okay, so let's dig straight into it. So for the people that may not be familiar with you, give me a little bit of background info.
Yes, so my name is Amani Sutherland. I am from Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
I came to Atlanta in 2016, where I attended Clark Atlanta University.
Big Clark Atlanta.
Shout out to Clark Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I think that my role in politics came, like, easy on. I was a political advocate since Trayvon Martin was murdered.
Yeah. I think that situation did radicalize a lot of people.
Yeah, but it mobilized us. I was 14 years old.
You was 14 when it happened?
Yes.
Wow.
And immediately I'm like, how can I utilize my platform to spread a message? Mm-hmm. And at that point of my life, I was a dancer. So I was on a cheer, step, and dance team in New York. And every year we go to nationals, if you make it to nationals.
Yeah.
Nationals is in Florida every year. And, you know, cheerleading nationwide as a sport, it has a lot of white people, especially judges, coaches, teams, whatever. Like, the black cheerleaders are a minority. So I'm like, when we go out there, we're going to make a statement. I don't care if we win. I don't care if it goes viral, if people don't like it, but we're going to make a statement. So for our step routine, I choreographed the step routine, and we all wore hoodies, hoodies up. On the back, it said, rest in peace, Trayvon Martin. And our whole entire skit was based off of Trayvon Martin. At the end, we said, no justice, no peace.
Yeah.
And
how'd that go in Florida?
We actually won.
Oh.
Yes.
Hey, sometimes you stand on business.
We got coverage.
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't like national coverage or anything. But I think that was my first time getting into advocacy and really trying to use my platform for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that moment, I knew it was bigger than me. The message was something that I wanted to get out. I wasn't worried about winning for the team. The team understood that. We were young.
Yeah.
But it's like, if we have an opportunity to go in front of these people in their state and actually say, like, no justice, no peace, then why not? So it actually turned out really well. And from that point on, I started.
Yeah.
I did like a big.
And what was your major at Clark?
Criminal justice with a minor in political science.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Right before coming to Clark, I actually, in my senior year, I did a sit-in in front of the New York City train stations, protesting, because I went to a predominantly white high school in New York City, and during Black History Month, they took down our Black History Month sign and peed on it.
Yes. Who peed on it?
The kids.
Wow.
The students.
Wow.
And that's how you know that this is learned behavior. It's not something that it just comes naturally. Like, people, these students are learning this from what they see at home, from what they're reading in books. They're making their own opinions on how they should act towards minorities. And I wasn't going for that. So the entire school walked out. And we sat in front of the train station. No one was getting on the train at 59th in Columbus Circle that day.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of news coverage from that. So that was something that I did then. And I said, when I go to Clark, I am going to major in criminal justice. I'm going to figure out if I'm going to go the law route or if I'm going to go politics route. But eventually all of that started, like, trickling down based on, like...
But it started when you was, like, in high school. Like,
started in high school.
For sure. Okay, cool. So that's how you got your start. I guess my next question is, and I just thought about this. What do you think is the main difference between black Republicans and, like, black Democrats? Because seeing, of course, if you've been consistently watching the show, you know this is almost like a response interview because the last episode we dropped, Michaela Montgomery, another Clark Atlanta student who was on the other side. And seeing some of the people that started responding to my content and engaging with my content after that dropped, I was like, there's a disconnect here.
Yeah.
There's a disconnect here. So what do you think, again, what do you think is the difference between Black Republicans and Black Democrats?
Yeah, so first, I think it's important to understand that these are all systems. So I know that in the last interview, you guys talked a lot about systems. You talked a lot about control and power. And yes, this country was founded on the premises of power. It was founded with documents that stated what and who can be considered a citizen, what access they will have, and how they should proceed in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately from the beginning, there was a two-party system, obviously created for a division, but on both of the systems were created on the morals and the identities that they want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I don't have any opinions about whether or not Black folks should be Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. I feel like whatever you feel like suits you and your goals the best, that's what you should go for. So as long as you completely understand what that party is advocating for.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I like to ask people when I'm indulging in conversations, whether they're Democrat or Republican, is like, what do they stand for? Like, what do they believe in? Because when you ask that question, a lot of Black Democrats and a lot of Black Republicans, they never realize that the issues that mean the most to them and that they advocate for may not suit the party that they're actually representing.
Mm-hmm.
So for Black Republicans, when you ask them questions like, where do they stand on women's rights? Where do they stand on families? Where do they stand on job accessibility and things like that? All of their answers gear more towards the Democratic Party, because a lot of the Republican legislators and lawmakers, they have done nothing but strip those rights away from Black folks.
Yeah.
So when you think about like having access to inclusive books and healthcare coverage for pre-existing conditions, or when you think about making it easier to vote, climate change, reproductive justice, when you think about billionaires having to pay with their own and there being systems in place for underprivileged minority people to come up, like Section 8 and the welfare system, all of those things the Republican Party they don't stand for.
Yeah.
There
was actually Waka Flocka had made a post on Twitter a while ago.
Waka Flocka needs to get off Twitter.
And he stated some of the things that were his views and things that he felt should be important to everybody, things that he wasn't concerned about. So I pulled it up, a few of those things. He said equality, men, women to pay for bad policing, women to have rights and make choices for themselves. Mm-hmm. This is very badly worded. teachers to be paid more. The list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at this list and I was like, well, one of the things that stands out is for women to have rights and make choices for themselves. Now, can we speak on like what the Republican Party is implementing here? Because for the people that think that Trump is for women, I want to give them some insight on this.
I think first, let's take away the specific candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take away the presidential
the names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Trump. We're not talking about Biden. We're not talking about Kamala. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about the actual party.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the party, there's the party on the federal level and then there's party on the state and local levels. So there's local Democrats that control local jurisdictions. There are that's like the mayors, the city councils, the commissioners and stuff like that, school board. Then you have the governor, the board of elections and stuff. That's on the state level. And then, of course, you have the executive branch.
Yeah.
So when you think about Republicans as a whole, Republicans, they killed the George Floyd Policing Act.
Uh-huh.
Republicans killed the IVF Fertilization Act. Republicans killed the Crown Act. Crown Act was the act that bans hair discrimination. Republicans killed the bill to battle white supremacy. Republicans killed the bills that aim to eliminate dark money in elections, meaning money laundering. Republicans killed the bill to expand child tax credit, which affects the Black community. Republicans killed the border bill, which would have added more agents and funding to protect the border. So when you think about all of the things that Republicans killed on the local, state, and federal level, there's no way that you can say that you advocate for women's rights, you advocate for police accountability, you advocate for X, Y, and Z, and think that the Republican Party will assist you in doing that. Speaking about abortions, in order to understand like how we got here, you have to understand all of the things that happen in the interim of them killing Roe versus Wade. First of all, the Supreme Court, the justices that voted on voted to kill Roe versus Wade, they were appointed by Donald Trump. So that's a direct
connection. Hold on, connection. Because everybody's not educated. So for the ones that don't know what Roe v. Wade is, give them some a short background on Roe v.
So Roe v. Wade is a Supreme Court decision that dates back to the 1800s, where it basically granted the women the access and ability to have safe abortions. That was killed in 2022. And it was killed federally because of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, they're the only court that is able to overturn court decisions. So you may have heard of Brown versus Board of Education, which made
Segregation or
that made us able to integrate in the school systems. Loving versus Virginia, protecting mixed marriages. So all of those notable Supreme Court cases happened so that Black people had the access and ability to do certain things that otherwise they did not want us to have. And when I say they, I mean the white supremacy. Yeah, exactly. So when they killed Roe versus Wade, that basically criminalized the right to an abortion. And when I say criminalized, I mean now not only yourself, but your doctor, your taxi driver, whoever drove you to the abortion, the nurses in the clinic, all of them can be prosecuted.
And this was something that popped up in
2022, yes. And that only happened because the Supreme Court appointees were appointed by Donald Trump.
And here's another thing that I feel like is a big issue with that side. And why does it matter that somebody...
It's all about power and control. You know, you want to know what the real tea is?
Yeah, well, give me the tea. All tea, no shade.
Their population is becoming extinct.
Dwindling.
Yes, because actually, no matter what they want to say or how they want to frame it, white people utilize the right to an abortion more than Black folks. So once they realize that, you know, they take the census every 10 years and they're realizing like, oh, like in these states, in these cities, there's less white people, there's less of a white population. And because it's women not wanting to reproduce, like, at some point, can our race be extinct? Are we going to lose them? Are we going to lose control? Are we going to become the minority?
So that's why, like, they have, even in such extenuating circumstances where this baby may be a result of sexual assault, you still can't get an abortion.
Am I right? Yes. And Trump wants to leave it up to states. First of all, he changed his position on that, like, 10 times. But now he's saying that he wants to leave that up to states. And the reason he wants to do that is because he wants to have jurisdiction over states. So in this whole Project 2025 thing, he's basically removing all of the executive, like he's turning it into a dictatorship. But where
before we go into Project 2025, because that is something that I want to educate them on before we go into the details of it. So Project 2025, is this a rumor or is this something that's actually...
It is not a rumor.
Because Republicans and people on that side are saying, oh, this is not something he goes on. So Project 2025 is a part of his plan.
Yeah, so it's a lot. It's so much that we could talk about. Yeah. Because the reason why...
We got time.
The reason why it's become such a popular thing right now is because of the influence of social media. However, this manifesto, this 100-plus page manifesto has been out since 2021.
Yeah.
They've been working on this, having meetings on this, discussing this, having people sign on to this since 2021.
So what
they
is it?
They being the Heritage Foundation. So the Heritage Foundation is an organization that basically they want to like over, they want to maintain control. So they're kind of like, a manifesto is something that you put together that outlines how things will move forward and what people would abide by.
Yeah.
So it, Project 2025 is a manifesto that they created, which basically outlines how 2025 and beyond shall be. Mm. The biggest thing out of 2025 that is like so scary is the fact that they kind of want to remove the bureaucracy and make it a dictatorship.
And that's what you were getting into. Yeah. So definitely.
So now the power will be coming from one person. Have y'all seen Hunger Games?
Like, yeah, we saw
that's
Hunger
what it's
Games.
Gonna be
yeah.
like. It's literally gonna be like, this is District 12. This yeah. is District 1. I'm President Snow, and this is what I say goes.
Yeah.
And aside from
can
all
he
of that,
do that
as the president? He, as the president, he's gonna hold the power to, and that's why like the elections are tricky because everybody's so focused on the presidential candidates. Oh, like blah blah blah, but people don't realize that all 435 seats in the House are up for election, will be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
In order to have the majority control, obviously both parties they want to have either a 2-3, meaning they control the House and Senate, or the presidency and Senate, or the presidency and House.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people want. For the first time in 2022, I believe, don't quote me on these dates, but
yeah.
In 2022, I think it was the first time in years that it was a 50-50 split,
uh-huh.
meaning that the Republicans... the Democrats controlled the presidency and they controlled one of the general assemblies.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to understand like who makes the laws, who enforces the laws, and who interprets the laws. Yeah. I don't think people understand that either.
No.
And that's why they feel like Trump can do so much and Trump had the power to do this and Trump gave you stimulus checks and Trump did
let's debunk that as well, because yeah. that has definitely been a talking point. And I think in general that's a silly talking point to have, because oh yeah, we was getting you got what, $1,200, $1,800 maybe during the pandemic.
First of all, y'all stole the money, let's be clear.
Talk about it. So let's talk about how the people think that Trump gave them so much money.
Y'all was panicking everywhere when y'all saw that the SBA was not relieving some of those loans.
Yeah.
So everybody...
Oh, you're talking about the PPP.
I'm talking about PPP. I'm talking about unemployment. All of those yeah. people were scamming.
Oh, y'all were scamming. That's what they were saying.
Yeah,
I was thinking they were talking about the stimulus.
Yeah, they were scamming stimulus checks, too. People were stealing stimulus checks.
Wow.
Like, and this is a known fact, so don't nobody come on here and try to come for me.
Yeah.
I'm from the hood.
Yeah.
But...
Hood politics, you heard.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, like, Trump didn't give y'all nothing. If y'all actually went by... The actual rules that were on the PPP loans and unemployment, X, Y, and Z, half of y'all probably wouldn't have came up like that. Y'all was rich off of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And again, the president is not the person who will make that happen. That happened from Congress. And Trump actually did not sign the first two attempts for the COVID relief bills.
Oh, yeah.
He signed the last one because the pressure was on. We're going through a global pandemic.
Yeah.
It don't matter what candidate was going to be in office, what party was holding the majority, that bill was going to get passed. People needed relief.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, like since then, you know, all right, another thing people don't understand is that a lot of the things that a president does in their term is not reflected until two, three years later.
Okay.
So when we were living in the Trump, what people think is the Trump economy, it was actually the Obama economy.
Yeah.
And when the first 2 years of Biden's economy was backlash from Trump's economy. All of that inflation, the gas prices, the food prices, all of that came from all of the money that was lost through the COVID pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah. So we paid that back. Like, everybody has to be real. Like, we paid that money back. Y'all got money. I hope y'all did something good with it. But Trump did not give y'all that money. Get a job. And yeah. A job that, you know, the Biden-Harris administration made it easier to get. Because under the Biden-Harris administration, black employment was up 60%.
Yeah.
They invested into small businesses. They invested into entrepreneurship. They did so many things for the Black community that I don't think people are understanding, because it doesn't directly affect them, but it directly affects someone that they love or someone that they might future run into. And that's my thing with Republicans. Like, I always ask them, like, do you care? Are you all about self, or do you care about the greater good? Because I feel like people that are Democrats, they're not only thinking about what's affecting them, they're thinking about what's affecting the majority of people.
Yeah.
We need some of these laws, some of these bills that obviously you might disagree with. Taxes, okay, the rich Black people, they're like, oh no, taxes, taxes, taxes. Not realizing that next year, Trump's tax bill that he implemented, it expires. And what actually happened with that tax bill that people don't understand is that what he did was protect the wealthy, protect the 1%.
Now, what is the wealthy? Because there are a lot of people.
If you make over $400,000 a year.
Okay, so for you Negroes that make $100,000, $120,000, you don't qualify.
You're not, you're wealthy. You're wealthy. Two claps for you. But as far as taxes, they're talking about folks that's making millions.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking about billionaires.
Yeah.
And actually, Trump and Biden's stance on that is not really different. It's that Biden and the Democratic Party wants to protect folks that make under $400,000. So I have a 9-to-5.
Mm.
Let's just say my checks are $2,000 a month. I know that everyone that has a 9-to-5 for the past 2-3 years, y'all have noticed that y'all are getting $400, $500 taken out of y'all checks.
Yeah.
Why? Because Trump's bill made it equal. So whether you're making $500,000 or you're making $50,000 a year, mm-hmm. you're getting the same amount of percentage deducted from your taxes. I mean, from your check in taxes. Biden is keeping that, but people that make under $400,000, you'll receive a lower tax break. So yeah. Back to, you know, regular times when we was getting maybe $200 taken out of a check, that's what it'll go to. And that's what I'm saying. Like, do you care about the greater good, or do you care about yourself?
Yeah.
Because if you care about the greater good, you wouldn't want someone that's working minimum wage. And we're talking about Georgia, where minimum wage is still $7 an hour.
Mm.
They're working hard 40 hours a week, and they're taking home half of their check because of taxes.
Mm.
And then where are those taxes going?
Yeah.
Like, that's when things, like, when you get down to the nitty gritty and stuff, you're like, ooh, like,
so what I mean, policy. So what's the answer for things like inflation? Because, you know, I technically, this is a 9-to-5. I work mm-hmm. for iHeart. That is my job. I may yeah. make money outside of that, but my 9-to-5 is a radio job.
Mm-hmm.
So inflation is crazy. The things that we were able to, you could get by in Atlanta on $4,000 a month a few years ago. Now it is a good luck. Yeah. Like, rent prices are out of control. Eggs cost $50 a shell. What is the answer to some of these things? And is this something else that's a backlash from the Trump administration?
Yeah, I think that all of those, like I said, we had to pay back the money that was lost during the global pandemic. So all of that inflation was on the rise. It's actually been lowered so much. I don't know the actual percentages, but the Biden-Harris administration has lowered inflation a lot.
Yeah.
And
so inflation is the other side's fault.
Huh?
The inflation we're experiencing now is the other side's fault.
The inflation that we're experiencing now, yes, is the other administration's fault. And also, it's been dwindling down. You won't see those effects until maybe 2025, 2026.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure everybody's noticed, like, eggs have gone back down to normal pricing.
I just stopped looking. I'm gonna be honest.
Gas prices were regulated. Like,
there's some things like that, like eggs and gas. I don't even look.
You're gonna buy it regardless.
You gotta get it. What I'm gonna do? Earlier this week, the light came on. I'm at the gas station on the corner. What I'm gonna do?
And I think so. At that point, you have to start questioning. Like, is it the government or is it these businesses?
Yeah.
Because they notice that you're gonna buy it regardless.
Yeah.
Are people gonna notice? Do you guys actually go in and know there's some people on TikTok that literally will look at prices and like compare prices in stores and they compare markets and stuff because they're knowledgeable that it might be the business that is taxing you. I always go, when I'm looking at gas prices, I always look in the area to see, like, there's what's an app going
for that.
On.
Yeah, there's an app for
and,
that.
And people
yeah.
will tell you, like, yeah. some gas, some different chains, they will tax in certain areas because they know people are going
to
pay it.
You know who else we need to start doing more of that with? We need to do that with Waffle House.
First how of do all, I go I went to different Waffle House Waffle... this morning. My meal, I got bacon, double hash browns, double covered, double smothered, and a waffle.
Yeah.
It came up to $17.25. I said, I didn't even see you pull out a calculator. How'd you calculate it?
It's Donald Trump fault.
I blame everything on him.
It's Donald Trump. Like,
Matter of fact, we in Governor Brian Kemp's territory, so let's blame him.
He got,
and they beefing too.
I was about to say, damn, he got hoes so
when
bad.
When the Republicans hate each other, like, everyone was talking about the Democratic Party, but, like, the Republicans do it way worse. Like, they really don't agree. And a lot of them do not advocate or accept the fact that Trump is the representation of their party.
One thing I have heard about that is, though, and one of my dogs, he's in the music industry as well, TP, he pointed out to me that Democrats will openly disagree with each other, openly, like, kind of tear somebody down for how they think something should be approached, whereas a Republican may know somebody like Donald Trump is wrong, but he's not going to go on an interview and say Donald Trump is wrong.
And you want to know what my answer to that is? Accountability. There's a difference in the parties with accountability. Republican Party, they don't want to hold themselves accountable. They're politics. Politics to them just means power and control. It means, how much power can I have? Who can I have control over? What can I regulate? Politics to Democrats is, how can we help the American people? Like, how can we work for the people? If we have to hold someone accountable, how can we do that? One thing that I said when VP Harris became the presumptive nominee is that this is our opportunity to hold someone accountable. Their ears are to the streets. They see what we need. They're talking about what they would do if they were granted the opportunity to become the president. But now, how are we going to hold you guys accountable? And what I like about the Democratic Party is they're not going to save face, they're not going to just wipe off what someone has done. They're going to call you out on it. And that has a lot to do with organizers. That have a lot to do with activists. We actually listen to what's happening in the streets. Donald Trump, he still hasn't said anything about police accountability.
He did say something about it. He said he wants to give them...
Oh, yeah, he wants to give them more. But I'm saying, like, about specific cases, like, he wouldn't come on and be like, wow, like, we need more accountability because that was wrong.
No, but he said he wanted to give them immunity.
Yeah, because they don't want to hold themselves or their people accountable. He wants to protect them.
Yeah.
And the Democratic Party is not about, like, let's protect all of us. Like, we want to X, Y, we want to run the country, run the world. No, it's about, we need this, we need that. This is how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to break down systems so things can't happen as fast as people want them to happen because, again, this world, this country goes off of the Constitution. We the people.
Yeah.
That's how it starts. They're the people.
Yeah.
And that's what I talk about in my first book, Hood Politics, and that's what I'm going to be touching on in my second book, Hood Politics 2, The System, because I'm going to be breaking down the systems and how we all fall victim to the systems. And regardless of whether or not you do politics, like, politics is going to do you.
Going to do you. Yeah. I love hearing that because I hear so many people my age and younger and really, like, a lot of people saying, oh, man, I don't do politics.
Yes, you do. There's politics in everything. There's street politics. So if you in the streets, y'all know the street politics.
Yeah.
There's politics in the music industry. There's politics in the sports industry. We see all of this unfold daily.
Yeah.
Everything that just happened in the Olympics. It's politics in different countries.
It's politics in music.
It's politics everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
y'all can't tell me y'all don't
do politics.
You can't
opt out of politics. And that's going to bring me to my next point because I see a lot of people currently, some discourse that I'm seeing online is about the people protesting for Palestine in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of Palestinian Americans and some Black Americans say, well, if she doesn't speak on this, then we're not voting for her. And I'm like, well, first of all, withholding a vote isn't really smart if you have two options.
When you don't vote or when you vote for, like, a third party like RFK Jr., who's terrible and we could get into that if you want. But if you, when you don't vote, we'll save that for later. Independent, third party, that's basically a vote for the person that you don't want in office.
Yeah. In addition to that, well, really piggybacking off that, like, Trump said he would have the protesters deported for protesting. So, like,
Trump doesn't even acknowledge protesters as using their civic duty, but he acknowledges the rioters for January 6th as being activists.
Yeah, that's what stand up Americans, real Americans.
That's what he thinks is patriarchy, and like, that's crazy to me.
I just think that's just the wildest logic ever. Like, yeah, if you don't vote for, if you don't talk about what we want you to talk about, which you should put pressure on politicians.
Put pressure on everything. But
there is no other choice.
You also, so, you know, like, you have to take a step back and think about what you don't know. What's not in the public, what's not being spoken about, especially in politics, especially in foreign policy, because we don't know what's being discussed on the back end. We don't know what deals are being made. We don't know if deals are being made. I know y'all all seen Scandal, and y'all see what happens behind the scenes when presidents or NATO or, like, when people have to negotiate with other countries, powers. You're dealing with nuclear weapons. You're dealing with so much, and you're dealing with control, ultimately. So, and to tell somebody, putting the pressure on someone to make a decision about something that you feel strongly about and saying, if you don't do this right now, then I'm not going to vote for you, that's not helping, because you don't know what she's capable of doing when she gets in the position to actually negotiate those deals. Or you don't know if her and her administration is actively working on that right now. Yeah. Things have been done. Things have been proposed. Things are being voted on. I think that you're not going to always be in the know, so you're not going to always know.
You're not in these rooms.
Yeah, you're not going to know whether or not things are moving forward. And I say keep protesting, keep putting that pressure on so that people know, like, oh, it's not quiet. Like, we didn't give up. However, don't use that as an ultimatum of to why or why not people should cast their ballot.
Absolutely. And I feel like this is really my stance on, like, the whole I'm just not going to vote. Because, again, we started off by saying, if you don't do politics, politics still going to do you. But I feel like even if this was, like, a regular engagement, and, like, if me and you are on opposing sides, there's another party here, third party person that is picking between one of us. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, if I feel like you're wrong in how you're talking to me, and you feel like I'm, and you're not taking a side, you really taking a side.
Literally.
Like, if you're not speaking up, you speaking up.
And let me be honest, like, minorities, and when I say minorities, I mean, like, the poor, your race, gender, whatever minority you are a part of, we really have no reason to trust politics. Like, the system has failed us so many times.
That's honest.
But like I said, in order to actually get to where we need to be, we have to break down those systems. In order to break down those systems, we need to elect people in power that we can hold accountable.
And how do we hold politicians accountable? That is something
that The first step is to vote. Yeah. Everything that's on the ballot, and people are not only on the ballot, actual issues are on the ballot. So gun reform was on the ballot before. Abortion is on the ballot this year. Taxes are always on the ballot. We're actually writing, like, when we're casting a ballot, they ask us questions like, do you believe this should be a topic of discussion for the 2024 candidate, blah, blah, blah. We are voting for that. So when you say you're not voting, you're not using your voice to actually show and prove that this is something that you care about. They look at all of those numbers. They look at all of that. There is the Electoral College, in which the Electoral College in each state, they always vote on behalf of their party. We in Georgia, because I was a part of that, we flipped Georgia blue. Mm-hmm. Georgia is blue right now, and Georgia is going to remain blue because they were able to get enough people registered and excited to vote and exercise their duty. Georgia is a battleground state, meaning all the parties want Georgia. Mm-hmm. There's a few states that all of the parties want, Georgia being one of them. So when you attain that state, they will do anything to make sure that they don't lose that state.
Yeah.
In Georgia, the accountability that people go towards, they do the protesting, they get the meetings, they use people like me and people like you that have platforms to actually discuss the issues that matter. That's something that I don't think people are, like, growing with. Like, we're in a new stage of influence. And I know that you've discussed a few times on this platform about, like, using influencers, celebrities, and all of them to get the information out. Mm-hmm. I think the key message behind all of that is just using platforms to actually get correct and factual information out for people to actually digest and then make their decision to go ahead and do what they feel like is right. So if you don't think, after receiving the information that you get, if you don't think you should vote, then that's your decision. But if I give you all the information and I'm telling you this is how it affects you, this is how it affects your kids, this is how it affects your grandfather, your cousin, your friend that might be dealing with a sickness, etc., you should take that information and say, like, dang, if I go to the polls and just take 10 minutes out of my day to cast the ballot, it could actually make a difference.
Yeah, for sure. It is a lot, definitely, that people need to be tapped in with in regards to this election. But one more thing, I actually got more that I have to talk about. But the HBCU debate, we was talking about the budget slashing, mm-hmm. or lack of thereof in the last episode. What was your thoughts on that?
I didn't hear any real information around the budget cuts. I think I heard the person say that it wasn't a budget cut, it was accountability. Don't really know what that means, but what I do know is that, and this is something that you can Google and that's everywhere, is the Biden-Harris administration made the largest donation to HBCUs within their tenure. It was a $7 million or billion-dollar donation, not really sure. But that donation was made to ensure that HBCUs have the same access to resources that other schools have. Something that I don't like that the Republican Party says, or that Trump says in particular, is that he saved HBCUs, or he made it a priority to protect HBCUs from like losing their credibility or whatever. That's not the case. And my alma mater actually spoke out about that and said, Trump did not save us. So thank you, Clark Atlanta University, for not falling into the lies that he's trying to feed the media. But again, in the big budget proposal that happens every time there's a budget fiscal year, whether it's local, federal, or state, there's a lot of budget cuts. There's a lot of hidden budgets. There's a lot of things that, you know, people add in, take out because they wanna accommodate for certain things. But HBCUs was not protected by the Trump administration.
Yeah. And that was my thing too as well. Like, if we're talking about budget cuts and you say, or whatever you want to call it, budget cuts, mm-hmm. reallocation, whatever. If you say, hey, we're going to take money from this HBCU because they didn't do the things that we needed them to do when we needed them to do it. Well, who does that hurt? That hurts the community. That hurts the HBCU community. So it's not really holding anybody accountable if the people that mishandled or took the money are still in power.
Right.
And if you know that this person mishandled or took the money, like if they just straight out took it, I feel like that's criminal.
Yeah.
And if they mishandled it, either way, they don't need to be there.
And it all goes back to power and control, like I said a million times. Like, these people want to maintain their power. They want to hold their power. They want to pass their power down to people that are like them, and have like-minded stances, and they want to control things. So, again, if we want to hold people accountable, and if HBCUs is at the top of your issue stances when it comes to selecting a candidate, actually do the research and see what each candidate physically said, and how they went about whatever they said about HBCUs before spreading misinformation.
Yeah.
That's my stance.
For sure. Now, definitely something else I wanted to discuss. The blackness.
All right, so
Is Kamala Harris black?
I need everybody to understand the difference between race and ethnicity. You black?
Yeah, I'm black.
Where are your parents from?
Georgia.
Are they a part of any ethnic group?
Ethnic group? My dad might be Nigerian. I still got to do my 23andMe because I, you know, like if you ever seen a Nigerian and you didn't know they was Nigerian, but you knew they was Nigerian when you looked at them. That's how my dad looked. So I saw a picture of him earlier. I mean, I've seen him before, but I saw like a recent picture of him. Like, boy, you look Nigerian.
Right. So you know how you see how you're able to say you're black, but your family might be of other descent.
Yeah.
A part of another ethnic group.
Yeah.
Everybody can do their own research and find that about themselves.
Exactly.
There has never been a time where Kamala Harris said she was not black. There's never been a time where she didn't indulge in her blackness. She went to an HBCU. She pledged a black sorority. She has championed and advocated for black Americans so many times.
Mm-hmm.
She also advocated for South Asian Americans, which her mom is of that ethnic group. Her father is Jamaican. There's, like, how much black can you get?
So what makes somebody, like, what do they expect?
What is black, like, why, you know, this year, and people might hate me for saying it, but, like, this whole, like, how black are you trend that we've been seeing in music and politics, it's just pissing me off.
Yeah, because like, they try to do it with Lotto.
From Lotto Drake. To Drake.
Yeah.
J. Cole. They ain't want to mess with J. Cole. They tap in when they want to tap in with Lotto, but people want to completely cancel Drake because of how black they say he is.
And that was the ironic part about that whole beef, because your wife is mixed.
Your kids.
Like you come from, like, so you can't, everybody calling him white boy, this don't apply to other people?
I don't think people are realizing that the same thing that our community is doing with this blackness conversation, how black are you, is the same thing that we ridicule other races doing when they indulge in conversations with us. We hate to see a white man or a white female try to act black or talk black or wear black. Like, we don't like when they do that. So when we ask them or we try to question the how urban are you or how tapped into the black community are you, that becomes a problem, but now we're doing it to our own kind. And I think that's the biggest thing that's holding our community back, is that we're not together. Mm-hmm. Like, we're never together on anything. We're not even together on this election because there's black men saying a black woman shouldn't ever be in office. There are people.
Why do you think people?
I think it's about power. This whole thing about men wanting to be in control and not believing that a woman has the ability and capability to actually run a country. That comes from the male
ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't like that. Mm. And obviously, like, when you tap into that and you start questioning that they feel like you're tarnishing their ego even more. So for when you actually ask, like, the black men who's saying, like, oh, Kamala Harris is not qualified or blah blah blah, why? The only thing that they can respond to is with misinformation. They respond about
narratives.
Yeah, the narratives that were put out about her criminal justice stance.
Let's talk about that. Because
it's on the internet. Y'all can Google. And what I want people to understand, and when I was in Georgia, in my last role, I worked with district attorneys. So I worked with prosecutors in my role. And I worked with prosecutors who clarify themselves as progressive prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
In the end of my, like, tenure working with them, I had to get them out of using the term progressive prosecutor, because there's no way a prosecutor can be progressive.
Why is it?
You're a prosecutor. Your job is to prosecute crimes. Mm. Your job is to follow the system that we want to break down, but we have not broken that down. So you're enforcing the laws that were systematically made against us. That's not your fault. That's the job that you're doing. So if anything, Kamala Harris clearly knows how to do the job that she was hired for.
Mm-hmm.
However, the whole she locked 1,500 black men up, you cannot find that anywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
She has not locked that many people up. What she did was lock up criminals. Yeah. Criminals that obviously, you know, trust me, like, before I got into all of this, I was advocacy. I was knock it all down, tear it down. But I understood that there's system in place that you have to understand and fight through before you can even knock them down.
Yeah.
So they're not bringing up the fact that she was working towards restorative justice. There's so many videos and clips on the internet, if you YouTube it, of her doing her speeches, proposing her program that she made where people can have their records expunged, have second chances, reentry programs, all of those things. Like, those are things that I worked with district attorneys in Georgia to make sure can happen for folks. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that if you say you're an advocate for criminal justice reform, those are the things you should be talking about. You should be talking about the prison system, the prison industrial complex. You should be talking about the nature of the laws that these prosecutors have to enforce and interpret to prosecute black men and prosecute mm-hmm. people. Right now, there's a big thing going on about that judge.
I haven't seen it, but I've seen like clips of it and just the titles. Exactly. So the young girl was on a field trip to a court and fell asleep.
First of all, you don't know her situation. You don't know her from a hole in the wall, nor did she break any crimes.
Yeah.
But you took it upon yourself to use your
power,
your role as a judge,
yeah,
to show her.
Can we like dip off like from like the party side to talk about that? Because mm-hmm. that's something I watch a lot of court TV, not like yeah. on like actual TV. I watch a lot of YouTube videos of court proceedings, and I do see that a lot. Sometimes
Why it's so judge had to recuse himself.
Yeah, like if a judge gets their feelings hurt, now you got to sit down for sometimes it hits a year. So because I was emotional in this moment, you gonna send me to jail?
And I think that's a system that needs to be.
That should be illegal.
It should be illegal.
That should be illegal.
Who's to say it's illegal when these judges are the?
They are the law.
With the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You have to start. You have to understand who holds the power of what to understand how you can break those systems down. Mm-hmm. So if we elect more. Because district attorneys in some states are elected, some are appointed. In Georgia, they're elected. So if you can elect district attorneys that actually have the best interests of people at heart and not who also still do their jobs, mm-hmm. but still have the best interests of people at heart, if we get more of those people in elected, then we can get rid of that theory of control and jurisdiction and my discretion.
Do you think Fannie Willis has the people at heart?
I can't even speak on Fannie Willis. I tried to meet with her a few times. If you see this, respond to my text. Uh-huh. I know Deborah Gonzalez of Athens. She has the best people. She has the people at heart. Shalina Cook Jones of Savannah has the people at heart. There's prosecutors like Kim Fox in Chicago mm-hmm. that's very notable, mm-hmm. and they have the people at heart because they tap into the communities of interest. They tap in and actually try to debunk all of the reasons why these people are doing the crimes they're doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are doing these crimes because they're poor. That's a part of a system
And that's what I addressed in the last interview
yeah.
when we were talking about poverty.
I hate it when she said the welfare, it's a mindset. I want to stay poor?
It's a mindset, but not how she's saying it. How I described it was, if we are in a dark room and you don't, You were born here. Everybody you know was born here. So you and your entire community have never seen the light. You may have a few people that get out, but as a whole, it's not everybody.
And think about how hard they make it to access the resources that people actually need. I think Jadakiss said it. Shout out to Jadakiss. But he said, if you want to hide something from a nigga, put it in a book.
Yeah.
What they do is they use jargon language. Mm-hmm. to hide all of the things that you may be looking for when you're looking for a resource. They put a bunch of political language, jargonish. They make it so hard to read and understand to where someone just be like, you know what, forget it. I'm not even going to do this. It's so many people I had to tell.
Isn't that like called filibustering in the courtroom?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had to tell so many people, like, you're eligible for unemployment. You're eligible for, like, government resources. This is all you have to do. So many people don't even understand, like, all of the programs that are out there for, like, first-time home buyers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And people still don't understand, like, all of these, like, student loan programs that the Biden-Harris administration had put
out. Yeah, I need to get my shit white.
Yeah,
what's up?
The SAVE program. There's so many different ways. But, again, if we vote and we get her in office and we also get majority in Congress who can't block the loans forgiveness, because that's what they've been doing. They've just been blocking every single thing that Biden has proposed. Mm. But if we get the right people in office, then, hello, we can get our loans forgiven.
I need that for sure. I feel like that's really my repayment plan right now. Ignore just it till they...
Wait until you just vote.
Exactly.
There's so many things that people don't understand, like, directly affect you. Like, in that Project 2025 manifesto, he said he wants to have the death penalty automatic for drug convictions. Do you know how many black people that's going to affect? And you know how many people are wrongfully committed?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I know it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if we're going to put automatic death sentence on anything, I feel it's for child predators.
Agreed.
I think child predators is not, what's the conversation?
But it still goes back to the systems, because we need to make sure that these lawyers are doing their jobs, not to cover up crimes, not like...
Well, that's really a lawyer's job.
Well, that's a defense lawyer's job. Yeah, but the prosecution, when people start cutting deals with each other and stuff, that's y'all trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
The law is the law.
The law is definitely the law.
But again, the laws that are written down for the people like prosecutors and judges to enforce, those laws were a part of a system that was made against people that look like you and I. So
I'm going to bring this up, because last election, there was an enormous amount of women that voted for Trump. What would you say for the black, white, Hispanic, Asian women who may not see, who may have fallen into that hold of the patriarchal mindset of not wanting to support a woman as the leader of this country? What would you have to say to those women who don't believe in Kamala Harris as a potential president?
I just think they need to do their research, because if you actually do your research and you see what is at stake for women in particular, for women and men, for the country, when you see what's at stake, you'll understand how critical, like, this election is. It's like one of the most historic elections possible. We're seeing Donald Trump say head on how he feels, what he will do, what he would enforce. We see his allies say that if he doesn't win, there will be a civil war. We see people saying that they're gonna show political violence if he doesn't win. All of this will happen because one person wants to maintain control over your minds, bodies, and your futures. Mm-hmm. And if that's something that you personally say, that's fine with me, then so be it. You're already lost. I can't help you. I can't tell you anything that'll change your mind. I just hope that you are making the best decision for yourself and your families. But as a woman, there's no way that you could support someone that wants to take away your rights.
Yeah. And you spoke on something very important right now about how, regardless of what happens in November, I think it's November 5th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, regardless of what happens in November, there's going to be something that comes of this.
Yeah.
Win or lose. If he wins, they're going to go in, because that's the type of crowd that he's empowered, which is really the biggest thing. I'm going to talk about that later. But if he wins, it's going to be big. If he loses, I feel like it's going to be January 6th, part two.
It might just be even worse, because they've realized that they won't be held accountable for their crimes. Him in particular is not being held accountable for any of his crimes.
Yeah.
And that's why I want y'all to realize this man wants to win so bad just so he doesn't go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said the other day that if he doesn't win, he's going to Venezuela because he'd rather be under their dictatorship than be under Kamala Harris's administration, which is insane, because he knows he's committed multiple crimes. He has cases in Georgia, New York. He has so many cases, so many crimes. There's still people being prosecuted and investigated for January 6th. And it doesn't scare them, because they know that if he were to get in office, they're good. If he doesn't get in office, but they've already did this and nothing happened to them, and they do it again, oh, okay. And that's what I don't like about the Republican Party, because it's a lot of people that are just following. They're following the trends. They're following what's
Well, yeah, it's
his allies. He's encouraging a lot of mess, and that's not what a leader is. You should have some type of substance about yourself, some type of morality to where is you'd want to protect the American people entirely if you're running for the highest office in the land.
Yeah.
But instead, you're encouraging people to indulge in violence and oh, like, we need to leave if it's going to be under her. That is insane. That is not a leader.
And just, like, going back to the interview with Michaela, I said it to her a bunch of times. I don't have a problem with Michaela or any of her policies. I know that Michaela wants the best for herself, her friends, her family. She has a daughter. Her heart's in the right place. Maybe the approach is not it, but it's not about her. That side is not smart. Talking about Michaela specifically. I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about the other Trump supporters that come up onto these posts and will spew, like, just the craziest logic.
Yeah.
Like, if we're talking about policy, if we're talking about policy, and the first thing that you want to talk about is her background, her sexual, her blackness, her sexual background. Oh, we can't have a president, a woman president is gonna get on her period and start a war. What?
But that just
every war in American history has been started by a man.
That's what I'm saying. That goes to show that this country still has so much hate rooted in it that we have to address that. That's a part of this overall agenda that the Republican Party has. They want to keep that going.
Yeah.
They want to rewrite history and take away the information that has been accessible to us for years. They want to rewrite that so that their kids and grandkids don't have their feelings hurt of knowing that their ancestors did this cruel act.
Yeah.
They don't like that.
Yeah.
They wanna eliminate the fact that people should have the right to choose. People should have the right to be themselves. They're just so against humanity is what it seems like. And that's why I'm saying, like, if you're someone that can advocate for that, support that, rally behind that, then you're already lost. Like, you're way too gone.
People think, again, just going back to something you said earlier, like, they think that they can just be impartial on politics and it won't affect them at all.
It's affecting you.
It's going if you think it's a joke, then the joke is going to be on you.
Literally.
Like, and it won't be a funny joke.
And everyone is going to be pissed when they find out that the next president-elect might or might not have the ability to appoint more Supreme Court justices, which it can either become a 50-50 split or it can become a majority of conservatives, where everything that has been the law of the land for the last 1,000 years can now be taken away. Mm-hmm. They could wake up and say, you know what? I don't like today. Let's reinterpret the 13th Amendment. Do they still want to be considered a person, or should we make them back to 1/3 of a person? And if they decide to do that, now what? Then you got the people that say they can never make us back into slaves. It's never been written out of our Constitution. Involuntary servitude is still in our Constitution, but they hid it and made it so it's only for people prison. That are in prison.
Yeah.
So now, when those people are the people interpreting the laws and have the jurisdiction to lock us up, that's just making us slaves all over again.
Yeah.
When they have the ability to change budget cuts and take away money, and they're controlling the banks, and they're controlling big pharma and all of these things, that's how they're going to turn us back into slaves. Yesterday was the first time in history where an administration, the Biden-Harris administration, was able to come to an agreement with big pharma to protect and lower prices of medicines that people need access to that greatly affect our community.
Yeah.
I'm a girl. I live with lupus. I have an autoimmune disease, and I have to pay, I think my medicine that I have to take every week is like listed for like $1,500 a month. If I didn't have access to healthcare, there's no way that I would be able to take that. A lot of these diseases that Black and brown communities are born with, that comes back to our history. That's rooted into all of the things that folks were doing to our ancestors and the diseases that they were spreading and what they were making us eat and all of these type of things. All of those things did not come natural. So if we don't have access to those medicines because we can't afford it, y'all gonna kill us off. If y'all are interpreting the laws that y'all want to enforce because y'all want us to get locked up, y'all gonna lock us up. If y'all are controlling the banks, y'all gonna make sure we have no money to even do anything.
Yeah.
And all of that is still forms of being a slave to the system. It all goes back to just being under control and allowing them to have jurisdiction over what we say, do, feel, breathe, all of that.
Facts. I mean, you kind of touched on it just now, but for the people that say, oh, what is Kamala doing for black people? That is something else that I see consistently online.
Yes. I think I listed a lot of stuff that the administration has done earlier, like the black wealth is up 60%, as mentioned. The unemployment rate for black Americans has reached a record low under this administration. They expanded the monthly child tax credit, meaning that checks up to $300 were going out monthly to folks that needed it. Mm-hmm. So, and that was greatly appreciated in the black community. They pardoned all federal offenses for marijuana possession. I think a lot of people forgot about that law that was overturned and that happened under the Biden-Harris administration, meaning that they worked with the commission to lower the classification of marijuana. Mm-hmm. It's not a classified drug anymore, so the offenses are lower. That's what was locking up a lot of our people on the state, local, and federal stance. So they did that. They did that to help the black community. They ensured that black communities had clean water.
Yeah.
That, like, they were looking at things from a personal stance, like, how can we actually affect the daily lives of black Americans? I don't know what they want.
I swear to God, I was just thinking, what are they expecting?
What is something, I would love to hear people comment, like, what is something that you think would be the life-changing moment for black?
A lot of people, a lot of people say reparations.
We trying.
Yeah.
But, again, we have to elect leaders into office that'll advocate and vote for those things.
I agree.
The Jewish community they stand together. The Native American community stands together.
Yeah.
The black community cannot get on one accord.
Why do you think that is? I think it's all of the influences.
Yeah. It's systemic, but it's also all of the influences that we see around us. If you look at a lot of these celebrities on their stances, they always say, like,
the celebrities are being bought.
Yeah. Trust me. Like, I work in influencer operations. So, like,
Damn, y'all ain't calling me? That's crazy.
People are paid to say certain things. But a lot of them, when they do come on and they say things, they say, like, oh, I heard on the radio or I read in an article. People don't even understand that articles are bought. These news outlets are brought out.
Mm-hmm.
Radio stations are brought out. You can't trust the information unless you're researching it yourself. There's a lot of fact checks now on Google, so they'll tell you if something is not fact checked, if it's opinion based. People don't even know the difference between op-ed and an actual, like, article.
Yeah.
So that's something else. But
op-ed is like something that somebody just wrote.
Opinion based, opinion. Yeah. So I think, like, moral of the story is gather the information from trusted sources, trusted messengers. Research the information yourself and see what actually means something to you and how it can affect your community. Like, don't think about, like, me, myself, and I. Like, think about you, yourself, and your community, like, as a minority, as an underprivileged, hard-to-reach community. Like, how can your community rise up and become better? Who's going to advocate for that? Because it's not going to be Donald Trump.
Yeah. And one thing that we haven't discussed as far as, like, policies and procedures and stuff, climate control, climate change, environmental things. I already know that the other side is kind of like, that doesn't exist, but we see it every day. It's hot as hell today. It's probably going to be hot until December. It's not supposed to be like this. And we're still in a phase. There's something called, I think, like, the doomsday clock that has, like, it ticks to, like, the midnight to where things are going to be irreversible for the environment. It's not at midnight yet, but damn it, it's close.
People up like New York having earthquakes is crazy. Like some of these states experiencing hurricanes and stuff like I don't think people are seeing how real all of this is. And
no, because they get all the information from fucking YouTube.
Yeah, they think it's conspiracies. Oh, this is not real. Oh, this is just something. No, like all of those things are real. There's offices within any administration that focuses on specific issues, and climate change has been on the top of the Biden-Harris administration agenda. I don't really like pay attention to climate change that much as the rest of us because I don't really know the ins and outs of like how it would directly affect me. But that's
earth is heating up.
I know, but I'm saying like on a day to day, I don't think wake up and think like, oh, it's so hot, like ooh.
Well, yeah, happened? Climate change affects it's more of a future thing. It's kind of like if the earth, like, so it's probably not gonna be something that impacts our lifetime, even though there are some things that may impact in our lifetime, but it's more like long term things. So like if the mm-hmm. earth is heating up now, the glaciers are warming up. That causes the sea levels to rise, mm-hmm. which may bring on different storms in certain regions. I think somebody said something about hearsay, but there are certain diseases that may be frozen in the ice that may get released.
Mm-hmm. And this goes back to why I said you have to vote for somebody in an administration that is thinking into the future.
Well, the voters aren't even thinking.
That's true, because the information, they feel like the information is not, and I don't blame everyone because the information is so hard to read and so hard to understand. And that's why I came up with the Hood Politics brand, because I wanted to be that spokesperson for our community and make people feel like the information is digestible. I can understand it. Like, it's coming to me in ways that I can understand, ways that I can relate to, ways that I can appreciate. It's so hard for people to even go ahead and do that research themselves, because once they research something, it's like, what does this even mean? Like, what does this mean? Who is it coming from? Is this true? Like, so many people text me on a daily, like, interpret this for me. Like, what does this even mean?
Yeah.
And that's what that whole Hood Politics brand is about. It's like, politics is not a specific look. It's not a specific person. It's not a specific thing. It doesn't affect a type of person. It doesn't affect a type of community. It should affect anybody as it relates to you. So in any way, shape, or form, if there's something that you want to advocate for or something that you believe in, this is how you should do it. These are the systems that you will have to research and go into to figure out how to tap into the people that you need to help you get to where you want to be. I don't think that information, they don't want people to be able to have that power.
Yeah.
They don't want organizers and activists to even have that seat to be able to do that. But once I got into those rooms and once I realized that, like, I can utilize my platform to help people understand and help people actually become a part of the civic process is when I was like, you know what, like, I'm going to write a book. If they don't read the book, I'm going to go on, I'm going to do a TV show. If they don't listen to the TV show, I'm going to just write Instagram posts. If they don't listen to that, I'm going to hire influencers and celebrities to tweet out my message. Yeah. Like, somebody's, you're gonna hear it some way, shape, or form.
For sure.
Like we said a million times, like, whether or not you want to do politics, politics is gonna do you. So yeah.
Imani in the building kicking it with your homie. So they want to follow you and Hood Politics, give me your Instagram so they can stay in touch with everything you got going on.
Yes, Imani Monet _. And Hood Politics 1 is available on Amazon. Hood Politics 2, and the merch is coming out real soon. But all of that information will be on my main Instagram, which is Imani Monet.
Yeah. Are you going to listen
to tap in with me and make sure y'all vote? If y'all need to check your voter registration status, y'all could go to iwillvote.com. It's a very easy tool. Type in your name, your address, and your zip code, and they could search you up. They'll let you know if you need to re-register. They'll let you know if you could do absentee. There's a chat box. Like, use the resources that are provided.
Yes, sir. Sound good. That is another episode of the Big Homie's House. Your big homie, Kodak. Big homie, Imani in the building. You know the vibes. Turn the speakers up. Let's go big.